listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. All right, it's March 14th, 2015. I have Critical Mass, who's going to come join me in a second. I'm just going to chat about a few things off the cuff. I'll bring him in. Hello, Critical.
Hello.
Welcome to the live stream on audio chat. You are live and you are being recorded, just so you know. I like to be up front with my new TeamSpeak victims, as it were.
Well, thank you for your honesty.
We're going to have you on a proper broadcast next week, I think. I think on the Sunday, where we can go over your great research on Cruise Forum on nuclear, which is one of my favorite topics, really.
It's probably their oldest and biggest and best PSYOP, so I think it's probably the one that that needs to be concentrated on. I think it's full of discoveries that have been made.
Did you see that thing that in North Korea that Simon referenced?
Schmuck and
Schiller. Schiller and Schmuck. Oh, well, man, that's
they
the
do
best.
Have a sense of humor. They do have a sense of humor.
I'm just curious why they give some countries nuclear weapons and they don't give them to others in the whole PSYOP scenario. I wonder how they decide who gets the illusion, who doesn't.
I'm not too sure. I'm sure it's a magic number of countries that has them. 11. Hold on a second. Nuclear.
Yeah. Why do they choose to give them to North Korea and not Cuba, for instance?
It's the weird thing, the North Koreans one, because almost officially they're admitting that they don't. But the tests are faked. It's a bit of a strange one, North Korea.
Yeah, I wonder. It's one country you wonder what's really happening there. I think the only thing you can be sure of is the people are probably suffering there in a big way, I would think.
Yeah, there's 9 nuclear powers.
Okay. Well, they ran out of. Well, they could ramp it up to 11.
Yeah. Oh, well.
9 nuclear powers. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I suppose if they can find 2 more, then they'll be all right.
So you're over in England, according to your little icon.
Yeah. Yeah. Northern England. Not far from Manchester, really. Where I attended university. I'll be looking forward to SMJ's show on DNA.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him. I have to reach out to him and go over that.
That guy just knows so much.
He seems to be very interested in the whole scientism hoax, or the evolution, if you want to use that word, of scientism, or just science, what we call just plain old science in general.
Yeah, he also seems to have an encyclopedic knowledge on all the characters. Now they keep popping up in different stories all over the place.
Yeah, he likes to dig into
it. Yeah, he does. I've been trying to adopt similar techniques recently. I did come across something recently. The guy who... Clues from a trap spot somewhere. The guy who came up with water fluoridation was in the Manhattan Project, they needed the fluoride to make uranium.
Okay.
So once again, everything just keeps getting tied in with these nukes.
Yeah, interesting. Well, fluoride is real. It's a real chemical that is in the same. I think it's in the same chemical group as chlorine, right? One has 2. One is. Fluoride or fluorine is +1, and chlorine is 2, or chloride. I can't even remember. I'm so out of it from chemistry.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's same atomic
group. Same atomic group, yeah.
Group, yeah.
Whatever that means. I suppose you have to question the periodic table as well and how they decided to align. I almost think that they just grouped similar or elements with similar properties, because I'm not sure about the whole atomic way of looking at things now, whether atoms are just a story to somehow categorize or catalog just the elements.
It's an interesting one. I think there is some talk out there about non-atomic theory.
Oh, is there? Okay.
I'm sure.
Non-atomic theory. Interesting. So if the whole, because atoms are just a theory, as you said. So if the whole theory is just complete rubbish with no basis in reality, no physical basis, then that doesn't that toss the periodic table out on its head?
Like you say, they do seem to have similar properties, a lot of them. So, yeah.
But isn't it created? Isn't the actual table created with theory that there's so many atoms and therefore so many electrons and
yeah,
or protons and electrons and neutrons, and that's how it's categorized? I think, I don't know.
Yeah, so you start on the start with hydrogen, just one proton, I believe, and then end up at unobtainium, I believe, with 118.
Did you say unobtainium?
I did.
That's not on the map, is it?
Oh no, sorry. Unoctium.
See, that's unobtainium is the only one I believe is real.
There's anubium, 112. No, sorry, I was wrong. There's no unobtainium.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. Non-atomic. I can't. That's not even its proper name. But I'm sure there's some people who've done work on theory which doesn't have atoms. I'll have to find that. Yeah.
Non-atomic theory.
Just a quick Google. It's not coming. It'll be in my history.
You've looked into it before?
Yeah. It must have been. Well, very briefly. It must have been a couple of weeks back.
Here we go. The structure of atoms and the string theory fraud. That might not be it. I don't think it'll be easy to find, maybe. That kind of talk is heretical.
Well, again, SMJ questions, you know, asks us how deep does the hustle go? I suppose it's a good question. Yeah, I can't even find it in my history.
Heretical.
Periodic table hoax. No.
Nothing came up?
Nothing came.
Did or didn't?
No, nothing. It looked like it's just some joke sites. Right, no, I'll have to look into that another time. I do vaguely remember across something like that. But I found the
heretical.
There it is. That's how you say it. Heretical. Oh, with a British accent.
Heretical.
Jeez. Two different pronunciations, really. Free.
Heretical.
You could hear that?
Yep. No, I heard free voices. This Harold Carpenter Hodge, I found him now. He's the, he worked at the Manhattan Project as this toxicologist. He witnessed.
Who is this guy? Sorry?
Harold Carpenter Hodge.
Okay.
He's a toxicologist, published 5 books. He's president of the International Association for Dental Research in 1947. He was a toxicologist, and then he joined the United States Atomic Energy Commission and started experimenting on uranium. He even allegedly injected uranium into dying patients, 11 terminally ill patients.
Oh, no. What's the link to that? I like to look at what you're reading.
Go to Clues for him.
You can send the link to me.
Oh, right, yeah, of course I can. Copy.
Where'd you put it?
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you already did this.
Yeah.
Oh, you just did it.
Mm-hmm. No, I did that about
a week or two ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if the fluoride they put on your, the dentist soaks on your teeth does anything, or it's just a scam.
I think that was, I think there was a whole massive debate going on at that time. Like, didn't do anything, and he was instrumental in finding the evidence and promoting the evidence that it did, and that it was safe. Either way, he seems to be the key guy at the beginning of it all.
Hmm.
But he was, but the fluoride was also a waste product from the Manhattan Project as well. So, it's funny how all these stories have the same sources. He's a Berkeley man. Is he a Berkeley man? But it doesn't seem to be.
Interesting. The absolute academic idiocy of the nuclear atom theory.
Oh, you found some.
Yeah, I'll put a link to it. Put it in the chat at chat.fakeologist.com. You see that? Are you in that chat? I'll put it in both. I'll put it here too.
Yeah, say that. My browser doesn't seem to know.
The browser's not browsing?
No. Yeah, no. Academic eggheads to create different case against the nuclear atom.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, that sounds... Yeah, Larson. That might... Yes, I know. I know now. I was looking into it. I think he may also have... was looking into... Yeah, that was it. I was kind of wondering if there were... There'd ever been any Simon Shacks of the past kind of thing. Just and they've just been lost from history kind of thing.
So where do you see the name Larson? Is it on the sheet?
Case against... If you click on the link, the case against the nuclear atom, come across this, I will post the link to you.
Is that in the thing I sent you?
Yeah. There's a link in the thing that you sent me that goes to this place, the case against the nuclear atom.
Oh, there it is, yeah. Oh, that's someone else's...
Yeah, there were a few kind of skeptics in the 50s and 60s, I found. So there were people who were saying that the Soviet space program was a total hoax from start to finish.
Huh.
But obviously the good American program was real.
That was the good one.
Yeah. So, yeah, you do. I did find a few interesting people, but I couldn't find any books.
Yeah, I think scientifically the Simon Shacks would just be buried in the avalanche of propaganda and literature. They would be hidden. And they wouldn't be... I don't think anything bad would come of them. They would just be drowned out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did come across one kind of skeptic of Hiroshima. He was involved in a controversy at the time, but he wasn't really saying that he didn't believe that it wasn't an atom bomb. He just didn't believe it was that powerful.
Mm.
He was military himself, and a redhead. But yeah, you're probably right. There were any skeptics in the past. They appear to have been lost to history.
I like this comic here. I'll put it in the chat at fakeologist.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it there too.
Skeptic. Okay, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we never really hear the people that we associate with being called skeptics, really.
No. No,
not sure why.
No, I have to say I tend to use that word. I think Hoy uses that word from time to time. Does crop up. Yeah, we should probably use the word a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know if it's doesn't really have a positive or negative connotation to it, does it? Really?
I think it's meant to have a positive connotation, but has over time taken a negative connotation.
The Greek word.
One who instinctively or habitually doubts, questions, or disagrees with assertions or generally accepted conclusions.
Skeptic.
Yeah.
A person,
I guess that's...
A person who questions the validity, authenticity, or truth of something purporting to be factual, especially religion, religious tenets.
It comes from late Latin, skepticus, thoughtful, inquiring.
Yeah.
Consider or examine. So I guess fakeologists are Why not?
Skeptical, denying, question religion. You don't want to be a denier.
Pardon me?
You don't want to be a denier. Deniers.
That's words, but it's interesting. Yeah, I saw that comic last week. I didn't post it, but I've been thinking about it, so maybe I'll look at it again. Use it.
Where did you find it?
I can't remember where it popped up, but I just did a quick Google. Let me just do an image search, and I found it on this site, Radio Free Thinker, Vancouver's number one skeptical podcast and radio show. I never heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll link to that. Never heard of the podcast before. Sure, I haven't heard of most podcasts. Listen now, latest show.
It's the private members edition of Radio Free Thinker. This week, we take a look at bad science on Parliament Hill, private members' bills and how they're being abused, and as part of our Never Forget series, a recast of the Unfair Elections Act. Let's begin episode 286.
Wow.
It's time for Radio Free Thinker, the show that applies skepticism and critical thinking to everyday issues. The place where reason and reality cross sort, politics, religion, economics, and of course, science. Now let's get ready to be skeptical.
The cosmos is also within us. We're made of sparks. We are away.
Lots of loud music.
Nice.
Bad science. We can only do this with your support. I'm challenging every listener to a $5 pledge. And for those of you who listen to every show, please donate as much as you are able. A generous pledge of $101.9.
Everyone always wants money.
101.11 and a 9.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? At the radio station they're on, 101.9 maybe?
Yeah.
Awesome. Download the podcast. I'll have to add that to my list, I guess. That's a really strange topic, I think. I don't know
what are their actual skeptical shows about? What did you say? Radio Free Thinker.
Yeah, I'm trying to find them. I can see his fundraising. Free Radio Thinker, episode 180. Goodbye, Neil Armstrong. This is from a couple years ago. They say about Neil.
It's the Skeptic Waves edition of Radio Free Thinker. This week, goodbye, Neil, climate change, defining the isms, and news about the waves in our movement. Let's begin episode 180.
They have a movement?
Pardon me?
They have a movement?
Is that what they said?
Oh, yeah.
It's time for Radio Free Thinker, the show that applies skepticism and critical thinking to everyday issues.
To be a philosopher and political scientist. You know, Ethan, I was watching the news the other day, and they were talking about this big, you know, gunfight they had in New York around the Empire State Building. And I had to laugh in a way. I mean, it was very sad and tragic what happened.
Well, I remember that. That was probably a hoax. I remember that, though. Remember that one?
The Ottawa.
No, this was around the Empire State Building. This is from This podcast is from September 2012, around 9/11, of course.
But the bad guy shot one person, and the cops apprehending the bad guy while killing him actually ended up shooting, what was it, almost a dozen people or something like that? It's amazing when, you know, those who are in authority and power make a screw-up. Have we had any big screw-ups here at CITR?
And not quite. So podcast history. Now, fortunately, we are prepared for just such an okay iTunes or your...
Often lose things and episodes will...
Interim period. Neil Armstrong, the first on with the rest of the show. We actually have some more sad news, unfortunately. And that, of course, is the death of Neil Armstrong. He passed away last week. Neil Armstrong, the first human on the moon, he passed away from complications relating to heart surgery on August 25th. Now, Armstrong, for pretty obvious reasons, has an assured legacy that will no doubt be remembered for a long, long time. I mean, being the first human on another world is sort of a big deal. The interesting thing about Armstrong, well, were some of the more lesser known items in his career. Now, I mean, we all sort of know that Armstrong was a pretty humble guy. One thing that you may not realize, though, is that when NASA put together the team for Apollo 11, they were very, very careful about picking the man who would be, you know, the first human on the moon. They wanted to make sure that they didn't get, you know, an egotistical, typical fighter pilot type guy. They took a lot of time in figuring out who was the most down to earth, pardon the pun, of these astronauts.
Doesn't sound like these guys
They don't sound very skeptical, do they?
No. No, it doesn't sound too skeptical.
They sound like they believe absolutely everything they're told and shown.
Yeah, it's too bad. Well, they had a good comic anyway. As usual, they make it very hard to figure out where their past episodes are. Thing though, looks like it's gone kind of dormant though.
Previous shows. I think it's gone away.
Not very current at the moment. Last thing is from a year ago.
April 18,
2014. Yeah, stuff, you saw it. Stuff. They had some good comics, though.
Hold on, no. It's RFT, don't trust in. Oh, yeah. They're continuing to do podcasts, but it's not in their past podcast section.
Oh, yeah? Is that right? Yeah. I just June.
If you look on the right of their screen on their front page, they have a...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But it's not on the past podcast section.
Yeah, okay, now I see it. Yeah, it seems to have a lot to do with food and stuff like that.
Yeah, something about vaccines are good here.
Yeah, it's too bad. Oh well. Did you get to see the moon, the flat Earth clues? Do you have any interest in that?
I watched it all. I have to admit, you know, he only really provided one piece of evidence from what I could tell, and that was the flight times.
Yeah,
and you can pretty quickly find lots of southern flights that go direct between southern cities. So.
Yes, but he said, "Can you track them?" And I have a friend who's in that sort of business, so I told him to start tracking them today. He tracks regular flights. I said, "Well, while you're at it, put a couple of southern hemisphere flights on for a couple of weeks and let me know what happens."
Well, I mean, I know Clues for Orm's pretty skeptical about the GPS system, full stop. So.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain I remember that even officially it does have holes in the network. But I haven't looked into the tracking system. But he was talking about you couldn't get direct flights from sea to sea. And you can.
I don't think you can track them because of the time issues. Yeah, I know. There was another thing where they all routed through North America or the Northern Hemisphere area. So, yes, I agree.
It's an interesting idea. It's just I'd prefer more evidence than explanations.
Yeah, I do too.
Explanations of why it's been hidden, what we're going to do now that it's been revealed. Just gives the evidence for a spell. Trying to find the original. Oh, browser's gone. Hello?
Yep, I'm here. That's the beauty of audio chat. If there's no talk, it just doesn't record it. Oh, Faux Capitalist did a good review of Simon on K Ham Show. That's interesting. He's good at that.
Faux Capitalist.
Yeah, his name is Jason.
Oh, you mean on your website?
Yes. He has his own website, too.
Capitalist. Name sounds familiar, I have to admit.
I had him on one of my broadcasts before.
Probably were. Faux Capitalism, Explosion Faux Capitalism. Does he do that for all your shows?
The only ones with Simon.
Oh, right.
He likes to follow Simon where he goes, which is fine.
Lutz Backman as Hitler.
Yeah, Lux has been quiet on the on Clues Forum.
Who's been quiet?
Lux.
Oh, Lux. Lux. Ah.
Lux, yeah.
Yeah, now that you mention it,
It's funny how people go dormant, come and they go.
Oh, it's just, there's lots. Choose his post. He last posted 29th of January.
There's a bit of a dust up with maybe Brian on there or somebody else.
Well, actually, I think there's somebody else. It was me but by accident.
Oh, was it with you? Yeah.
Well, yeah, there was a bit of a silly thing, really. There was a new poster, and Brian didn't like the post, and then kind of got grumpy with me when I stuck my oar in, and then looks liked my post and kicked off Brian again.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really... all a bit childish now that I think about it.
Yeah. I don't honestly follow that stuff. I usually gloss over it quickly and don't have any interest in it, really.
No. Oh, thank you. All of that was in the chat box. But I'm sure Lux have been posting even after that bus stop. So. But yeah, either way, 29th of January. That's his...
Moved along.
I'm sure I've seen him on Fakeologist, though, since then.
No, I haven't really. I don't remember it. Maybe he's on vacation. Like I said, people seem to come and go.
Yeah. Here they do.
So other than that, nothing really dramatic to say about Flat Earth.
No, I might look into the global tracking issue at some point. It didn't seem to present that much evidence. I'm not too sure what I actually think about the whole subject.
Well, the only thing I'm certain about, pretty certain, is that NASA lies, and they're the main ones that propagate this blue globe that never seems to change its original image with the same cloud formation. Why is that happening there?
Oh, yes, yeah, the fact there's only composite images of the Earth.
Yeah, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yep. That's probably the big giveaway, isn't it?
Number one, it's NASA. Number two, this ever similar picture just constantly recycled of the globe. And then someone else mentioned on some other broadcast I was listening to how the Earth is the same size as the moon, allegedly, from space shots. Why is that? Wouldn't it be way bigger in the viewfinder?
Is that on the Apollo mission?
Yeah, when he took the picture of the moon, of the Earth from the moon, or orbiting the moon, the Earth seemed too small.
I remember that.
So many different little tiny clues that add up. I think that's really all that Flat Earth Clues was trying to accomplish. He said he was trying to go ahead and disprove the whole thing, but he's now convinced on trying to disprove the Flat Earth that at least it's very difficult to disprove it.
I kind of agree. It's difficult to disprove. And there are a few things I don't fully understand about the whole spinning momentum thing. So, you know, why do planes flying east seem to travel at basically the same speed as planes flying west?
Yes. Yes, that one is a good one, too. I have a problem with that one, trying to figure that out. Exactly.
They do say something about the centrifugal effect, but it's just quite grasp that. Concept of a spherical Earth dates back to ancient Greek philosophy.
Yeah, is that right, huh? Yeah, that's interesting.
Other speculations on the shape of Earth include a seven-layered ziggurat or cosmic mountain.
The whole Antarctica thing is a big load of confusion as well.
Yeah, Antarctica.
How that ties into the whole thing. And the other thing you might be interested in, the angle where he's bridging the gap between Antarctica exploration and some of the first nuclear explosion tests on rockets.
Yes, I've actually looked into them before. There's Argos, three tests launched in 1958.
Yeah. So maybe they were just launching rockets to have a look at the Earth to see what it looked like from high up, since they've never been that high up before. Believe in nukes.
I don't think the timeline fits. 1958, I mean, they've already allegedly been launching Sputniks and Explorer 1s by then.
Yeah, but that was the point is, instead of testing nuclear devices, they were just simply taking a look at the Earth, see what it looked like. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, they literally haven't even bothered to release any pictures or footage of the Argos experiments, 1958. So, other than a bit of footage of rockets launching from ships, there's literally no proof that anything took place whatsoever. They've not released anything.
Okay. So the rocket tests may not have really been nothing really might have happened then.
Well, they haven't released anything to suggest that it took place. Right. Saying that, they did. They have alleged. I'm sure they said they alleged they set one off and it increased the radiation around the planet in space.
You're saying that one of the things they said is blowing up the nuclear devices in space radiated and left radiation in space. Maybe that was just a ploy to stop any private companies from even consider going up. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure I remember something about radiation belt detonated at altitudes of 200 to 1,000 miles. Also at 2,000 to 4,000 miles. Task Force 88.
Yeah, all the magic numbers.
1800. The Argos explosions created artificial electron belts resulting from data decay of fission fragments. These lasted for several weeks, affected radio and radar transmissions, damaged or destroyed armament fusing mechanisms, and potentially 9 ships and 4,500 people participated in the operation.
Usual numerology, huh?
The actual device was a W-25.
Wonder where it was going. Ship went around the bottom of South America. What was the purpose, really?
If I was to speculate, just a training mission, test fire some rockets. No idea how high they actually went. Don't look big enough to me to have gone hundreds and hundreds of miles. Goodness. 493 miles altitude, like a toy rocket, X-17, 40 feet and 4 inches, 7 foot, 7 inch wingspan. I keep meaning to have a look into these sounding rockets. I think they've been neglected. Sounding rockets. So if that's what these three Argus rockets appear to have been, something like that.
Lockheed X-17.
It does have its own page. So, obviously, the first ones, I believe the first one of these were Van Allen's. He's the one who found the Van Allen's belt.
Right.
With his sounding rockets.
Solid fuel rocket motor and a science payload. Interesting. Yeah, they look like toy rockets.
Yeah, apparently they can get to just 1,000 miles up with these things.
Lifting 600 to 990 pounds of payload. Boy, oh boy, they never end. 1,500 kilometers above the surface of the Earth. Interesting. The minimum altitude for a satellite is 120 kilometers. Minimum. So, in other words, it would just be 20 kilometers above the extent of the Earth's atmosphere, which they give at 100, I believe.
Yeah, I see. 75. So they were allegedly firing these things quite a bit earlier than 1958. So if they were trying to find the dome, I'd imagine they'd hit it by then.
Yes, the dome. I'm not sure how much of that theory I buy into. Seems like a lot of material, whatever it could be made of.
Yeah. Thinking.
Here's Frank. Frank must want to say something.
I've only just joined in. I've just been talking to Vidya on Skype, so I apologize if I wasn't here earlier.
No, okay. Sorry, I just saw you here now.
I haven't heard enough to contribute, so I'll just listen. Will I catch the thread?
Yeah, we haven't. We're just prattling on about.
Yeah, we were just We're basically browsing.
We're just browsing.
Browsing is chat. Fun.
Can be.
I can't find out whether the bloody Chinese thought the planet was a ball, a sphere, a pyramid or what. Ah, here we go. Have you heard about the Political Paradox podcast, Ab?
Oh, what's that?
It's on Folks Capitalists page. Apparently it's a new Canadian political podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you like it, you're always looking for stuff to listen
yeah.
to.
Yeah, look, yeah, I am. Not sure how interesting it would be. Libertarianism.
I think the title's probably better.
Well, it's quite a few episodes. I have to listen to it.
Wait, what was that thing you were talking about before? Empire State 20.
There's a Canadian plant to it. Should be interesting then.
Oh, I must have missed this one. Oh, yeah. 2012 Empire State Building shooting.
Yeah. That Jeffrey. Was a little dust up in anticipation of September 11th.
August 24th. Oh, yeah.
This is the Political Paradox Podcast.
Coming up on this week's show, I wrote a letter to my MPP. I'll read you the response. Then more evidence that smoking bans don't work. Plus the latest chapter in the ongoing saga between Bell Media and the CRTC.
Your Political Paradox starts now.
It's Tuesday, March 10th. Welcome to the Political Paradox Podcast. On this show, we take a look at news stories from Canada and around the world. I am your host, Pauly Sy. You can reach us anytime.
Pauly Sy, I like that. It's funny. I was listening to said he went to a party and he said, okay, who here doesn't have a podcast? They're just so ubiquitous now.
Oh, this 2012 Empire State Building. Oh, I've got to look into all this. This is brilliant. You've got the shooter with three names, Jeffrey T. Johnson.
Yeah.
9 bystanders were wounded by bullets.
Uh-huh.
2 deaths took place at 9:03. 9:03. That's the time.
One of the
planes hit. Yeah. Second
one. It was at the 33rd Street side of the Empire State Building.
Oh my God.
45 caliber handgun. Bellevue Hospital. Wasn't that sort of the 9/11 hospital in a way?
Not confident enough to answer. But yeah, I'll look into this one. Johnson was born in Japan.
Yeah, I don't see too much on clues for him on it.
Maybe they missed it. But if I remember, there was quite a lot of shootings around that time, weren't there? So, well, alleged shootings taking place at that time. So, easy to miss them. So. Shooting clues. Oh no, there looks like there's a few posts on there.
Oh yeah, I see it now. Well, there's something about the funeral procession that they were poking fun at. Oh, that was a composite photoshopped image. A lot of the heads don't look like they belong on the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like some of the pallbearers were photoshopped in. I remember that part.
I'll look into that. That's an interesting, nice little one. I sometimes like the little ones.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a pretty minor one, though.
Yeah, yeah. Why was he actually? Does it even say why he was shooting people? What are you doing?
Somebody's not happy.
I'm checking out politicalparadox.ca. You can follow us on Twitter. Follow us at Pauly Paradox, P-O-L-I, Paradox. Or send me an email anytime if you have a thought on something. paul@politicalparadox.ca. We're here with you every Tuesday. As usual, lots going on. Feeling a little bit under the weather, not
in terms of illness, I've had a wisdom tooth that's been bugging me, and really, I only slept an hour on Sunday night, and I almost contemplated not doing a show, but I figured that, you know what, the secret to this podcasting thing is to do it consistently. So here we are every Tuesday, Political Paradox Podcast. First story that caught my eye last week: in the rush to get Hamilton's Pan Am Games Stadium completed, for those of you who don't know, the city of Toronto and Hamilton and other surrounding areas are hosting this coming summer the Pan Am Games, which is really kind of like the little brother to the Olympics. Basically, that's what it is. It's a less glorified version of the Olympics. Subcontractors on the Pan Am Stadium say that they have yet to be paid yet. Well, isn't that lovely? Subcontractors say the General Contracting Consortium, Ontario Sports Solutions, owes them more than $2 million in unpaid overtime and services rendered. They say that they had no choice but to register liens against the property. A property lien is a legal claim money upon its sale. Some people...
9/11 Voices website's back. Live in the mall.
I've got a discussion point which isn't Salt or Dallas Goldbug, if anyone's interested.
Go on then.
Well, we talk about fear, and I read on the top of the Fakeologist site that fear is the weapon that the government use. So ultimately, fear is the fear of death. What are your thoughts on that?
Fear is the fear of what?
Death.
I think fear is just there to distort our reality.
So ultimately, what does fear boil down to? What are we fearful of?
Or I guess it's a primal, because it does happen in the oldest part of the human brain, right? Is it where your amygdala is? I would say that it's a survival mechanism. I guess you're right. It's probably to fear death.
And so if I were to say to you that there is no death spiritually, what would your thoughts be on that?
I would probably agree with you, but I'm not of the norm.
And so if I tie it into the flat earth stuff, and I should point out that I'm not really a flat earther, but I, I think as I've said, I'm not a globalist. It's
you
clear
that
we're
George
in a creation.
What was that?
It's clear we're in a creation of some kind and that we've been created and therefore...
But it's not clear to me. How does it become clear to you? What is it that makes it clear to you? Yeah, show me your picture so that I can see it.
All right, so the alternative is that we've evolved, yep?
Yeah, I guess when you look at what they tell us about the parts of the brain and how over time we've developed a more complex brain, yes?
So the fact that there is not the slightest evidence of one species evolving into the other, no matter how often they try to prove it, and I think, as Chris Kendall pointed out, that they've had, a gazillion generations of fruit flies that only produce fruit flies.
Right, and they have, haven't they, shown...
And given, so there's basically no evidence of evolution at all. The next logical thing is that we're created.
But I think the fact that we all have similar traits would lead me to believe, we all eat from one end and expel from another, and... We have eyes, nose, for the most part. I would say that we're sort of related somehow. And maybe we did branch off. I think that theory has just as much weight as the creationism theory does, the evolution.
Do you?
Yeah. Who's to say we weren't created and then evolved too? So it's like we just know nothing about everything. We know nothing.
No, I don't accept that because I think we cannot demonstrate speciation of any kind. In fact, all we can, there's been no evolution of humankind for the historical record. There's no evidence that my son is more evolved than me.
No evidence that we know of. Yeah. We don't know everything, right?
We don't need to.
But
we're given a model and the model is a fail.
What is your point in all of this?
So the point is that if ultimately we're controlled by fear and the key fear is the fear of death, understanding that we are a creation and that we are divine creatures is the single most important issue that we need to resolve. once we understand that we're not going to be snuffed out by the death of our bodies, then people will lose their fear, and that will undo the control mechanism. It's a discussion point.
It could very well be. If we didn't have the fear, they wouldn't have the control, right?
Yeah.
What you're saying.
And ultimately, the fear...
Control
the model I'm putting to you is that the ultimate fear is the fear of death. As you say, implanted in our amygdala or in our subconscious some way, or as Shakespeare says, you know, the unknown country from whose born no traveller returns makes us bear those ills we have and fly to others we know not of. And conscience makes cowards of us all.
You've come upon something there, Frank.
So I think that's the connection between...
What controls us.
What controls us and the, you know, painting the globe as being the infinite Carl Sagan universe where we're just a speck of nothing and therefore our death is really quite tragic for us. And the alternative is, you know, we are creations and that we are divine and that there is no death.
An ending is a beginning.
Etc. But obviously that's not sparking a lot of interest.
Well, you have a point. Maybe that might be a way to work, because we realize we don't have control of what they do, right? We do have control over ourselves. And maybe that's what breaks us free from them, is because they don't have controlling fear over us, because we see the game. There is no fear. They lose control of us.
That's my view. I think it's the most important issue facing us.
Yeah, and I think that's how we got here, because we weren't afraid to find the truth, whereas most people are. My theory is that most people aren't like us.
And so the revelation of the Earth not being as it's portrayed, and that humankind is the most important creature on the planet, would be a revolution.
But how do you come to that conclusion?
Right. How do you ever affirm that?
I'm raising as a point for discussion. What are your thoughts?
I think you've got some very valid points, but it's like I don't think we're in a position to ever find our way to...
Hi, I'm Twitter at Mark Manuel, and I recommend that you check out fakeologist.com.